Hi, this is Greg with your Oklahoma Men's Clinic. If you struggle when you snuggle, don't delay. Call us today, 405-266-3000. That's 266-3000. Or schedule your free phone consultation on the web at okcmen.com. That's okcmen.com.
The Rick and Brad Show.
Showbiz News Time brought to you by Michener Farren Jewelers.
Michener Farren's the greatest diamond store in Oklahoma.
We've got everything.
Come see our magical Christmas bride collection.
Only at Michener Farren Jewelers.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
So Alec Baldwin sat down with George Stephanopoulos for his first sit-down TV interview since the accidental shooting on the set of Rust. I guess it's supposed to air tonight, but the ABC's been running all of these teaser clips, and they're talking about it on Good Morning America.
I think they're going to play some of it on Good Morning America this morning, and then in order to tease the hour-long program, I think it's an hour, it might be two, the hour-long program this evening on ABC that features the bulk of the interview.
That's something I think could be an hour and not 2 hours.
I don't know that it's 2 hours. It might be 1 hour long. I don't know that it's one or two, but I know that the bulk of the interview is going to air tonight on ABC. But I think they're going to play some of it this morning on Good Morning America. But Alec, again, I question the optics of him doing the interview, but he's talking about some stuff that very well could be used in court. I mean, he's asked about the gun going off. He says he doesn't pull the trigger. He gives his thoughts on how the gun got onto the set and what happened. I mean, I don't know if you've been following these stories, but there's an interesting thing at play where that Hannah Gutierrez Reed, is that her name? The woman who's the armorer? Her father is a pretty legendary armorer in Hollywood. He's done a bunch of these modern day westerns that have come out over the last couple of decades. He's basically the reason she got the job. He wasn't available, and she has worked with her dad. It's the first time that she's been a head armorer. But her dad has sort of, the guns didn't come from them. They were the armorer, but the guns were rented from this other guy that's an old school guy in Albuquerque. And the two of them are kind of going back and forth and sort of blaming each other over this thing. And so there's an interesting thing at play behind the scenes that some reporters have been digging into as some of these police, they're not, the reports aren't out yet, but they basically are the applications for search warrants and things like that. And that thing where her lawyer implied that a live bullet could have been put there to sabotage, if you read between the lines in some of this reporting, it kind of seems like the girl's father is saying that perhaps this guy could have accidentally on purpose put some live ammo into that ammo, the fake ammo, as a way to sabotage him and or her and or the movie.
Wow. I just feel like that's such a reach.
It's a huge reach.
Like, even if that guy did accidentally do that, like, why would he be trying to sabotage her and the movie? Like,
there's a fight.
Those dots haven't all been
connected. There's a fight between these two guys. They worked on a movie together, or the one guy, the father was the armorer. This guy provided the weaponry and the ammunition. And there was a crate of ammo that was involved that the guy that was renting the stuff wound up with that belonged to the other guy, and the other guy was trying to get it back from him, and he wouldn't give it back, and he finally told the guy, you need to just write it off or let it go or whatever it was. And so there's this kind of fight going on between these two guys. Rolling Stone has multiple pieces about this that have some interesting little details.
I read a story about it, but it was just confusing to me putting it all together. Anyway, Alec Baldwin says in this teaser that ABC released that the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger, which is interesting because he said, I would never point a gun at anyone and then pull the trigger. Never. And then I guess the Santa Fe sheriff responded. I guess Fox News asked for a comment about Alec Baldwin saying that, and he said, well, guns don't just go off.
Right.
So something had to have happened.
I think it's interesting that he says he didn't pull the trigger because that's, one, it's hard for him to know, and two, it's going to be really difficult to prove or disprove that he pulled the trigger. What he probably should have said is, I didn't intentionally pull the trigger. I didn't pull the gun to pull the trigger. I was practicing a quick draw, which is the latest thing that I read that they're saying was going on. And somehow in that process, the gun was fired. If I pulled the trigger, it was not on purpose. But for him to just say he didn't pull the trigger, one, he's never going to be able to prove that. But I don't think that the, other than the understanding that a gun doesn't just fire itself, that they're not going to be able to prove that he pulled the trigger.
He also said that he has no idea how a live bullet got in the Colt 45 revolver that he used in the scene. He said someone put a live bullet in the gun, a bullet that wasn't even supposed to be on the property. And then he got very emotional when talking about Helena Hutchins, the woman who died after this. He said she was someone who was loved and admired by everyone who worked with her. It doesn't seem real to me. And then George Stephanopoulos asked him if the shooting was the worst thing that had ever happened to him. And he said, yes, because I look back and think, what could I have done? Here's the little teaser clip that we have from the interview that will air tonight.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them. Never.
What did you think happened? How did a real bullet get on that set?
I have no idea. Someone put a live bullet in a gun. A bullet that wasn't even supposed to be on the property.
I'm a dumbass.
Music in the background.
Oh, the music on all of this. We played a couple of things yesterday that had music behind it. Just get rid of that. We don't need that. I'm a dumbass from McCurtain County, but perhaps Alex should have talked to me about what he needs to say is, hey, look, I'm an actor. I don't know anything about these guns. I don't know anything about this. All I know is somebody hands me a gun. I've been doing movies for 40 years, 50 years, whatever it is. Somebody hands me a gun and says, the gun is cold. This is what we're going to use to film. And I don't worry about whether there's a bullet in it because there never has been and there never is supposed to be even a bullet on the set. Rather than all this other stuff, that's what he needs to just stick with. Because I don't think anybody thinks that Alec Baldwin did anything on purpose. I haven't heard anybody say that. I've heard a lot of other weird conspiracies from various people about it. But nobody's saying that Alec Baldwin had some reason to be involved in this. So his speculation, I can't believe a lawyer is not telling him, the less you say, the better off you're going to be. Because everything you say is going to wind up in the public record, and it could wind up in court.
Did it sound to you like somebody tried to interrupt him in that clip, like offset? Like it kind of sounded like somebody, maybe like a lawyer, is there and was like, hey,
listening to it. I see where you see that. Watching it, because I saw this promo multiple times yesterday. Watching it, it seems more like it was his emotions that he was stopping to collect himself.
Okay.
Rather than somebody stopping him. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't an attorney on set at the interview with him and that didn't happen, but when you see it, it doesn't seem like that. It's like multiple times he's stopping and sort of putting his hand to his eyes and trying to collect himself. So I don't know exactly what was going on there, but you do see that in the promo.
Yeah. It was interesting. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but George Clooney did that interview with Marc Maron, and over Thanksgiving, I had a chance to listen to it, and the interview was taped like 2 weeks after that Rust shooting, so everybody was talking about it, and that's why that subject even came up. But it was really interesting to hear like how close he was to Brandon Lee and how much time he's spent thinking about gun safety, and I don't know, he didn't blame Alec Baldwin outright, but he was just like, that should have never, like, Alec should have even checked that gun. But it was interesting, like, how outraged George Clooney was over the whole situation. And he clearly has spent a lot of time following this case and is just kind of blown away by how that could even happen.
I don't have the experience on a film set that a George Clooney does, obviously. Not even a microcosm of it. But here's what I would tell you. That, to me, is the equivalent of saying The Edge or Eddie Van Halen or any guitarist has a guitar tech that tunes the guitar for them. And the person hands them the guitar and says, here's your guitar. It's in tune and it's plugged in. The Wi-Fi system is working and it's plugged into the PA. So every night before the Edge grabs his guitar and goes on stage.
Yeah.
That he would then have to retune the guitar and recheck all of the stuff, right? Like, we don't walk in here and go, okay, I got to go through and check everything. I assume that Ryan has all the buttons pushed and everything lined up the way that it's supposed to be.
Sure. I get that argument, totally. I thought it was interesting. George Clooney was like, I've never heard the term cold gun.
Yeah, well, that is
once, like, on set. Yeah, you should listen to that, at least that segment of George, because it was really interesting. You could tell,
again,
that he spent a lot of time reading about it. He also couldn't believe that, like, somebody so inexperienced would be hired to be, you know, the prop master and the weapon,
right,
and the armor. So it was kind of interesting.
I'll go back to what a lot of people were saying after this thing first happened, and that is, I don't understand why they're using guns that can be live weapon guns on a movie set anyway. I don't think there's any reason to be using a gun that could hold a live round of ammunition and fire it on set. Now, I know that the Brandon Lee thing, that was not a live piece of ammunition. That was a blank, and the wadding from the blank is what was coming out forcefully enough to go into his head and kill him. But I just don't see any reason why you would ever have a gun on the set that could fire a projectile.
Yeah, and George Clooney kind of said the same thing, that it just is not necessary anymore.
You going to watch the interview?
Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah, I think I will too. I hope it's
nothing else on tonight.
I hope it's not 2 hours long, because you're right, that is just too much. But I would watch an hour of it and see how he comes off and what he has to say. Again, I have no reason to assume that Alec Baldwin is at fault with any of this, but I'm curious to hear what he has to say and how he sort of explains what went down. But I'm not watching 2 hours of it. If there's 2 hours of it, I'll wait and hear the highlights tomorrow morning from you.
Well, there you go. So I have to watch 2 hours of it.
You don't have to. We'll have the clips from it. It's
now,
fine.
If it is 2 hours, I'll record it and then watch it right afterwards so I can fast forward. But I'm guessing, since it's at 7, I wouldn't think. I bet it's an hour long. I don't know how you would fill 2 hours, honestly.
Hey,
I don't know how many questions you could ask him. Unless you're going to have 35 commercial
breaks.
When's
the last time you watched The Bachelor?
That's true. It's been a while. But, yeah. They do have 35 commercials during The Bachelor.
And they will drag some stuff out, and you know, they will. The thing that drove me nuts when I was watching The Bachelor is they would show you a segment, and then they would say, and Dateline does this too, by the way, which pisses me off. They would go through a segment, and then they would say, coming up. And then they will go through what's going to happen in the next segment, and basically will give you everything that's going to happen in the next segment.
And then recap when they come back.
Exactly. I don't need all that. You're just padding it out. Give me some more content. Give me a little bit more, either more of or a different interview or something. I don't need to know what I've already seen, and I don't need to know what you're going to tell me is coming up in a couple of minutes.
Totally agree. We should start a petition, change.org.
Well, listen, you're the one that's buddies with the Mank. Why don't you tell him that?
I'll tweet him. I'll send him a DM.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamin's podcast wherever you listen.
So Sandra Bullock was on an episode of Red Table Talk with Willow Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith yesterday. And in this episode, Willow Smith talked about how her house was broken into and she wasn't at home, but that it was very hard for her emotionally to deal with that invasion of privacy. And that prompted Sandra Bullock to recount her experience from 2014. She was inside her house when a man entered her residence unarmed, and she went into the closet and was hiding. And she said that, I'm in the closet going, this doesn't end well. And then she admitted that watching shows like 48 Hours and Dateline exacerbated her fears.
Cron?
Yep, it can happen. So she was alone when the intruder made his way through her house, locked inside of that closet inside of her bedroom. She said it was the one night that Lewis wasn't with me. Lewis is her son. She said it was the one night that our nanny said, let me just take him to my apartment, which is up the street because you're going to be out late. She said, had he been home, I would have run to the closet, which is now my official closet, but that was his bedroom and it would have changed our destiny forever. She said the violation of that, I wasn't the same. I was unraveling. She went on to discuss the PTSD that she experienced. If you remember, which I didn't, this guy was a 39-year-old named Joshua James, and police discovered that he had 8 firearms registered in his name at the time of the burglary. He was uncovered to have been stalking Sandra Bullock for several days. And in 2017, he pleaded no contest to 1 felony count each of stalking and first-degree residential burglary. He died by suicide in 2018 after an hours-long standoff where no shots were fired with the LAPD at
his house. Horrifying. Everything just about that is horrifying. And, you know, here's the sad thing. As bad as it is to feel like you're glad that somebody is dead or that somebody killed themselves, that's got to be a relief for Sandra Bullock. Because if that guy went to jail, he's not going to go to jail for that long. And then what's going to happen? He's going to get out.
He's going to be out.
And you're
going to
think,
point.
Well, he's going to blame me for the fact that he went to jail. The guy obviously is mentally ill. And she would never have a moment's peace as long as that guy was still alive.
She said on the show yesterday, what's sad is that the system failed him. There was an altercation with SWAT and he killed himself. And she said that she hadn't realized that she had PTSD from her home invasion, but that she would end up sobbing in unexpected moments. She said, I would look left out of a car, not right. I would look left and I would start sobbing. And I thought to myself, I'm a single parent and my child is going to absorb nothing but fear and trauma and shame from me in the most pivotal times of his life. She said that she has not been alone since that happened back in 2014.
Well, I understand that.
Someone with her at all times, which, I totally understand that, too. And then on to this latest story. So music icon Clarence Avant, his wife, Jacqueline Avant, was fatally shot in her Beverly Hills home early yesterday morning. And police are suggesting that she may have been targeted. The Beverly Hills Police Department chief said that, I don't think it's a random attack, but I can't speculate on that right now. The suspect or suspects are at large and the motive is still unknown. She had a sliding glass door that went to her bedroom, and there have been pictures released of this door that's just completely shattered where this man entered, shot her in the stomach, and apparently she was alive when paramedics came to the scene, but she later passed away at the hospital. The Avants have been married since 1967. They had 2 kids, and he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame earlier this year, and then was the subject of the 2019 documentary, The Black Godfather, which looked at his political influence and his work with Bill Withers and Babyface and others. But what a crazy, especially if you see like where this house is in this neighborhood in Beverly Hills. Like, it's a, you know, super upscale neighborhood. And I was reading that neighbors had recently been alarmed about some burglaries that had happened, and they hired this security company, pulled their money together to hire security, but the security patrol hadn't started yet.
Wow.
They weren't
That's
supposed
awful.
To start for a couple of days later. Yeah, completely awful. It's crazy how many trials are going on right now. Jussie Smollett's trial just started.
Right.
One of those brothers testified that he was asked by Jussie Smollett to, you know, fake beat him up in court yesterday. And then Ghislaine Maxwell's trial, Jeffrey Epstein's pilot, Lawrence Paul Visosky Jr., went on the stand, and he named some of the high-profile guests he had taken on flights, including Kevin Spacey, Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Chris Tucker, and late astronaut and Senator John Glenn.
Now, to be fair, reading some of the stories about this, some of these people were riding with him. For example, I think the Chris Tucker thing was, there was some charity work that he was involved in Africa, in some country in Africa. And I think that Chris Tucker was flying with him there. So there's some of the story, if you get further into it, is not suggesting that these people were going to his private island to bang teenage girls.
He testified that he didn't see any unaccompanied women who looked younger than 20 on the plane. He did confirm that he gave rides to one of Epstein's accuser, known in court as Jane, and he remembered her as a mature woman with piercings and blue eyes. And Jane's birth certificate was shown in court to prove that she had been underage at the time,
but the pilot just didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
I think that she was 14 at the time. So this guy saying, I didn't see anybody that was under the age of 20, is kind of undone by the fact that this girl was 14 at the time.
Yeah.
And he didn't
recognize
that.
To be fair to him, he said that looked younger than 20. He also testified that he never saw any sexual activity on the flights, but noted that the cockpit door always remained closed. And he said that he reported to both Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein. He said Miss Maxwell was the number two and Mr. Epstein was the big number one. Is his exact quote. Okay, guys, that is it for showbiz news.
Thank you, Kron.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5, The Cat.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.